Amen. Well, if you guys noticed, a few weeks ago, my family and I, we were on vacation for a couple weeks, and of course, you know, you get to see what's going on outside these four walls, for those of you who actually get it out of town, and I don't know if you noticed or not, but the church out there is messed up. Have you noticed that? I mean, not only in basically a lot of church services, you don't get the truth, but everybody is following this goofball, fluffy, brain candy, cookie cutter method, okay? And it's all designed just to get people to like you, right? To look cool so they'll come back. And if you don't know what I'm looking like, this is what's going on out there. Watch this.
You can't stop it. It's coming to a town near you. It used to be called contemporary. Some call it relevant. We're so cool, we call it contemporvent.
Young, hip guy welcoming all with graphic tee and cool glasses. I welcome everybody with arms wide open, revealing my tattoo so you know I have a past. Quirky transition to band. Invite everyone to stand. Let's do it.
This is the song that everyone knows. It's the song that everyone knows.
I just want to invite the ushers up as we prepare for our offering. Feel free to give if you feel led. It's between you and God, but we're tracking it.
One man has all the answers.
I have all the answers.
Showing a picture of a puppy and or a baby from an impoverished third world nation.
Speaking softly to draw you in.
And then emphatically, driving home my point.
On pause. Whispering. Repetition.
Still pausing. Pained expression. Long prayer so that the worship leader can get back on stage.
This is the closing song with strings that'll make you cry.
Coming soon to your town, a new kind of church. You will be lifted high and challenged to grow. We call that growtivation.
Yeah, God calls it apostasy. Now, does that look familiar if you've ever been out there visiting? It's like, man, it's the same goofball cookie cutter. And not only is it a bunch of fluff and baloney like that, I'm telling you, it's the same formula. It's all designed not about God's truth. It's all designed just to look cool so people will like you, just so they'll come back. And folks, unfortunately, that's not only true in the church today, but one thing that you'll never get from these churches, shocker, is you'll never, ever hear a word on God's wrath, on sin, on repentance, on hell, and you certainly won't hear about Bible prophecy. And the reason why is because these same churches, you try to even ask them, and we get emails, phone calls every week from people, not people only getting kicked out of their churches, but told that they're the divisive person when they approach their pastor and say, can you talk about prophecy? It's only nearly one-third of the Bible. And these people come back with this statement, maybe you've heard of it, in these same places. They'll say, oh, no, 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 you can't teach prophecy. That's doom and gloom. And people won't like us, and they'll run away. Really? Well, see, I got a problem with that because that's not what God says. You need to read the Bible. What a concept. Revelation 1:3 says, God speaking about Revelation, just one prophecy message. What does he say? Blessed? What's the word? Blessed? Not tortured, not doom and gloom, not bad for you. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it. Why? Because the time is near. God says you'll be blessed because guess what? When you understand that this world is going to go up in smoke, guess what you don't do, Christian? You don't waste your time on this planet. That's a good thing. You'll be blessed if you know that. Number two, God tells us to witness to people, and so we're blessed because knowing that time is running out tells us stop procrastinating and get busy sharing the gospel. How is that not good for you? But these people call it doom and gloom. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be them on Judgment Day. You're calling God a liar. And he knows it, folks. He knows it's true. People need to hear about what is coming to this planet. Why? Because it deals with the time frame called the 7-year tribulation. And it's not a joke. How many times do we see this? We're going to see it again, Lord willing, in our opening text. Jesus said it is the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that unless God kept it to 7 years, guess what? The entire human race would be destroyed. How many guys would say that people need to know about that? Number one. Number two, how many guys would say that people need to know? Guess what? Here's the good news. You can get out of it completely, 100%. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, right? And that's what we've been seeing. God's not just a God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And because he loves us, guess where he tells us? He's been telling us for 2,000 years, not only about this event, the seven-year tribulation, but how to escape it. And since we're his body, the body of Jesus Christ, we're the mouthpiece, the eyes, the ears. How are people going to know unless we say something, right? And so that's why we're going to be loving as well and get equipped. And we're going to continue in our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. We don't know the exact day of the hour, okay? But God tells us signs that it's getting close, okay? And that's the seven-year tribulation. We know what starts at Daniel 9:27 when the Antichrist makes a covenant with the people of Israel. Is that on the plate? Anybody trying to do that? Even the current administration? Yeah. That's the event that starts the seven-year tribulation. The good news is you and I as Christians were rescued from God's wrath. We leave at the rapture prior, okay? So we don't know the day nor the hour, but when you see signs of the seven-year tribulation getting close, the rapture is even closer, okay? That's good news. Now, we've already seen the first part. The first sign is getting close, okay, is the Jewish people and the Antichrist study. And then the last 14 times, the second one was modern technology and the AI invasion. Now, what we're taking a look at is not just the Jewish people. The Middle East, that is a huge prophecy sign. It's getting close. But we're taking a look at something that, frankly, we take for granted. We eat it. We breathe it. We're immersed in it. Our lives now depend upon it. It's called modern technology. And believe it or not, the Bible gives us many signs to indicate that, too, is a sign it's about to wrap up. Okay, if you're not saved, you better get saved. If you are, get busy living for Jesus and letting people know there's a way out of this mess. Now, we've already seen the first six future prophecies concerning modern technology, letting us know we're living in the last days. We saw the technology of travel, the increase of travel was a big sign. The increase of communication was another huge sign. The increase of distribution was huge. Then we saw the increase of electronic transactions, i.e. going to a cashless society, which of course leads to the increase of electronic markings, the mark of the beast system, Revelation 13. And then the last seven times, the increase of electronic monitoring. And again, what we're talking about is the Big Brother society that we know is going to come to the planet on, a global basis because of Revelation 13. It says there that the Antichrist and the false prophet are not only going to have the ability to know what people are doing, okay, including whether or not they're going to worship the Antichrist on a global basis, they're going to have the ability to micromanage the planet because when they know that these people said no to worshiping the Antichrist, they're going to give an order to take them out and kill them. Well, logically, think about that. How are you going to be able to monitor the whole planet? Not only what they're doing, they're saying, and they're not doing, but how are you going to find them on the planet and know where to take them out? Well, that's the Big Brother technology, folks. That's not coming. It's already in place. We've seen that with the information system. We saw that with the satellite system, the Big Brother eye in the sky. And then the last five times, the third one was the camera system, the Big Brother eye on the ground. And we saw that there are cameras right now being installed and are already installed on the ground with microphones, not just watching, but listening to every single thing we say, recording it, folks. We saw that in cities and streets and buildings and transportation, billboards, body cams, cell phones. And last time, even in your home. Remember that one? With your computers, because not only everybody has to have a cell phone, what else do you got to have? You got to have a computer, right? And as we saw, what's a cell phone? A cell phone's just basically a sophisticated, smaller, albeit computer. So you got to have a cell phone that's following you, a computer everywhere you go. And just like we saw with the cell phones, computers in your home, they are actually not just listening to you, recording your conversations, just like the cell phone, but they are watching you. And they're also creating these dossiers on every one of us, on our likes, our dislikes, whether we're going to obey or not, okay? This huge data profile on us that we're giving them all this information. But not only that, we also saw the technology we left off last time is they could actually, if they wanted to take you out, if they wanted to have an excuse to come get you in your home that you think you're safe. You don't need to get saved. You don't need Jesus. You're the ultimate survivor. You're just going to run to your house. They're going to know whether or not you're going to worship the Antichrist. And you know what? They can create with technology now, with computer technology, not only have you say things you never said before, but they're going to combine it with video. And how are you going to deny this? It's called deep fake videos. They're not coming. They're already here. And as we saw, we left off last time, it's almost like that Running Man movie premise with Arnold Schwarzenegger. They set him up, right? Create a fake video to take him out. Folks, that's not coming. Okay, it's already here. And remember the premise on that video? That movie, The Running Man, was made in the late 80s. And the future society that it predicted, according to the movie, was 2019. Hit it on the head. It was crazy, okay? Unfortunately, that's not all. The second way that they're getting even more invasive in our homes is with these automated home systems, right? Because that's another thing you got to have. You got to have not just a cell phone, even little kids. You got to have a computer in your home. And hey, you all know how hard it is to turn the lock on the door or hit the button on the remote. I wish I had a computer to do it for me. Folks, I'm telling you, this is the latest technology that's invading the homes, and it has everything to do with Big Brother. And I also believe it has everything to do with, once again, why Jesus said, number one, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now. But if you reject him, you will be in the seven-year tribulation. And if you're of that party, the last thing you ever want to do, he said, is whatever you do, don't go back to your house. Okay? I didn't say that. He did. Let's go back to that text. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is our opening text. Right, verse 15 through 22, again, we're starting at the midway point of the seven-year tribulation. Again, we're not talking about the church. The church is gone. Okay, we're talking about the Jewish remnant and anyone who would get saved again after the rapture, after the seven-year tribulation begins. And we know that that's possible because, again, as we've seen before, the gospel still goes forth with 144,000 male Jewish witnesses, also with the two witnesses, and also with the angel that declares the eternal gospel. That's at least three options right there, okay? Most of the people are going to be, as we're going to see, the Jewish people, two-thirds get slaughtered, and any Gentiles that would turn to God during that time, you're going to die like flies, okay? And decapitation's coming back and all that stuff. So it's not good. The point is, if you're here today, okay, before it starts, before the rapture, get saved now. Okay, but he's clearly going to say, starting at the midway point is where we pick up, okay, the last thing you want to do is try to ever go back to your house. Don't ever do it. Okay, here's what he says, verse 15, and it says this, when you see standing in the holy place, Jesus speaking, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand that then let those who are in Judea, where? What are you supposed to do? What's your option? Stick around, have an ice cream, go do some research. Go to your bug out shelter? No. Flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his what? House go down to take anything out of his what? He says it a second time. House. In fact, let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. Why? Because how dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. In fact, pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the what? Sabbath. Another clue that this is not dealing with the church, because do we worship on the Sabbath? Do we keep the Sabbath? No, the Jewish people do. That's who he's talking about. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Listen, verse 22, if those days had not been cut short, how many would survive? No one. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. You may be seated if you can. But again, as we saw last week, Jesus is telling us in this text, okay, that this is the midway point, the abomination of desolation. This is when the Antichrist, the midway point, goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple. He declares his true colors, and he says, hey, worship me, I am God. Now, we know, as we saw before, Zechariah 13, that the Jewish people, it's a good news, bad news. Their eyes are going to be open and go, oh, man, this guy, oh, we've been duped. The guy we made the treaty with that started the seven-year tribulation. They were under the blindness, Romans 11, Paul talks about. But their eyes are open. They say, oh, man, we've been duped. And then two-thirds of them get taken out by the Antichrist because they ain't going to worship him, right? Okay, but, okay, he not only says that, Jesus says, so those people at that time, your only option, when you see this abomination of desolation, because this slaughter's coming, you better run. You better flee to the mountains. You better get out. Your only option at that time, again, you should have gotten saved and avoided the whole thing. But your only option at this time is you better run, flee, chop, chop, get out of there quick now. Don't even go, oh, I forgot my wallet. Who cares? Run. Now, Jesus not only says where you should go, what you should do during this time, again, get saved and avoid the whole thing. He not only says what you should do, he says what you should not do. And he specifically says whatever you do, the last thing you ever want to do, he not only says it once, he says it twice. We all saw it there. Don't ever go back to your house. Why? Obviously, Jesus doesn't lie, and he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning of the end. He knows the past, present, and future. He's God. He can see the whole thing, of course. But why would he do that? Why would he call out this future time frame and say, the last thing you ever want to do is go back to your house? Because in times of trouble, when you think you need to be secure, when you want to feel safe, where's our tendency? Where do we go? Who said Walmart? That's crazy. Are you talking about that? Are you kidding me? That 13,000 is creepy. No, we have a tendency to go back to our house. And then I feel safe.
Or again, those people that say, I don't need Jesus. You Christians are a bunch of wackos talking about this rapture. Nobody's ever saw something like that. Kind of like Noah's day, huh? It's going to rain. They never saw it and thought he was a wacko until the first raindrop hit their head. But you Christians are a bunch of wackos. I don't need Jesus. No, this is crazy. I'm just going to go to my bug out shop. I'm going to my home. I've been storing up all kinds of gear there. They can't get me.
Jesus said, don't you make that mistake. Now, your first big mistake, again, I say it repeatedly, was you should have gotten saved and avoid the whole thing. But now you're in the 7-year tribulation, the worst time in the history of mankind. Don't even think about going to your house. Why? Because, folks, again, don't you think the Antichrist has thought of this? Don't you think he knows human nature? Where do you think we're going to run to? Don't you think he's already heard all the conversations of people storing up survival gear and going out to these supposed bug-out shelters?
He has no idea where you're at.
Of course he does. And he was just, people just have a tendency to want to run back to your home. He has found a way to make even our home. No wonder Jesus said, don't go back there. He's found a way to make your homes a big brother paradise as well. Now, we saw that not only with computers last week, but again, we saw that, we're going to see that with what's going on in our homes, with these automated home systems, okay? Now, the reason why, at least what I've noticed, why are people going to this? It's like, are you serious? It's really that hard to push a button? It's laziness, right? I'm serious. Under the guise of convenience, they're developing all this new technology to cater to our laziness, including these automated home systems, because it's too hard to get off that couch, right? I'm telling you, but we don't realize that it's creating a big brother paradise. Now, if you don't think that we're lazy, I'm convinced we're the laziest culture that ever was. And they're inventing technology to cater to it, right? Like what this guy says. Let's take a look.
Lazy technology, the electric toothbrush. That always made me laugh. The electric toothbrush. What, is brushing your teeth too strenuous an exercise for some people? Got people going. Man, I am really feeling the burn here. Wish this thing had a motor on it. Why don't you just have electric deodorant? But last year for Christmas, I got the laziest gift for my kids. They got me an alarm clock that projects the time onto the ceiling. Because y'all know how hard it is to go. No, this has got to stop right here. This is why I need a Red Bull. This is taking it all out of me.
Sound familiar? Yeah. Okay. We may even have some of those devices in our home, but it's just lazy technology. And again, the problem with this, folks, is I'm not against technology. Technology is kind of a neutral thing. It could be used for good or for bad. But I'm telling you, this technology that's coming out today is being used to create a big brother paradise, and we're buying it and bringing it into our home and even paying monthly fees. Okay, and I want to demonstrate that to you. It's bad enough with the cell phones and the computers, but man, our home is a big brother playground now, okay? Now, the first lazy technology that's leading to that is these things called smart locks. Now, remember the phrase, anytime you see the word smart before something, what does that really mean? Big brother, and stupid if you'd like to do that, big stupid big brother, okay? But it means big brother, right? Because that's really what this technology is. Anytime you see that word, smartphone, smart car, smart this, smart home, smart, it means big brother, okay? But everybody's got to have one of these things, because they're the coolest thing, because we all know how hard it is to go, right? And watch, here's how they pitch it. This is one of those commercials where you've got to have this electronic lock. Let's take a look.
I am Roger. Here on this beautiful day to show off the new Schlage Link system, I have purposely locked myself out so that Larry, who is far away in Seattle, can unlock the door with nothing but a cell phone. Go ahead, Larry. Ta-da! Like magic, but real.
Huh? I mean, I wasn't just outside sitting in the car. I mean, he wasn't even around. I mean, he could just push a button and, hey, whoa. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that smart? Well, think about it, folks. Not only could Larry open that up automatically, no key. How convenient is that? But anybody can hack into that same system, and guess what they could also do? Think about it. Stop and think about it, folks. They could do it too. And you really think that anybody on their house who has these smart locks, a professional is going to have a problem? Do you think the Antichrist is going to have a problem when those people unfortunately didn't listen to Jesus, number one, didn't get saved, and number two, they made the mistake of running back to the house? I'm just going to lock all the doors. And they'll walk right in, take you out. All this technology, folks, is making our houses, just like Jesus said, one of the unsafest places on the planet. Okay? But that's just the first one. The second lazy technology that people are buying into that's creating this big brother of paradise is these things called smart assistants. Right? Now, if you're not familiar with these are the things that you bring into your home. There's different ones out there. There's Amazon Echo, and you got to call it to Alexa, right? Or Google Home and things of that nature. And the reason why apparently you got to have one of these, because we all know how hard it is to apparently get up off the couch, go to the computer, and type on the keyboard something you're searching for. Oh, the hand cramps. I can't take it. I wish I could just sit there and call out to some device and it will give me the answers I need. Oh, if I get another callus on my finger, flipping that light switch on, oh, I won't be able to go to work tomorrow. If I can only just speak out loud, this device can turn my lights on for me or change the music, because we all know how hard it is to go, Now, we laugh about it, but that's really the premise that's going on here, that these so-called smart assistants, okay, are there for you, that they can turn on your lights for you. They can do a search for you. You need information? You don't have to type anymore. It'll do all that stuff. It'll change the music for you. Do all that stuff. Now, by the way, those of you using these devices to, quote, get information, if you think you're getting unbiased, accurate information, you better wake up. Okay, let me give you one easy example. You're getting filtered information. Okay? One example, this lady put Google Home to the test, and she asked it who Jesus was. Watch the answer that came back on that.
So, I'm testing out Google. Hey Google, who is Allah?
According to Wikipedia, in Islamic theology, God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator, sustainer, ordainer, and judge of everything in existence.
Hey Google, who is Buddha?
According to Wikipedia, Gautama Buddha, also known as Siddhartha Gautama, Shakyamuni Buddha, or simply the Buddha, after the title of Buddha, was an ascetic and sage on whose teachings Buddhism was founded.
Okay. Hey Google, who is Jesus Christ?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that yet.
Okay. Hey Google, who is Jesus?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help.
You liar. The most well-known entity in all of human history and the biggest AI database probably ever developed in the history of mankind, and you don't know who Jesus is? You're lying. Now, that was Google, okay? The Amazon Echo, okay? One guy put it to the test, and he asked it, and I quote, "Who is the Lord Jesus Christ?" And their answer came back, quote, "Jesus Christ is a fictional character." So if you think you're getting accurate information because it's too hard for you to go up and do it yourself, you're being lied to. But that's only the half of the story. You're not just getting filtered information from them. You're getting constant monitoring from them, and even the secular entities are catching up to this. These are the biggest Big Brother devices listening to our every conversation. In fact, watch this article. What's it say there? Alexa, what? Stop listening. This is secular. And they go on to say this. Listen, in millions of homes throughout the world, Alexa is listening. Many of you know who I'm talking about, but for those of you who don't, Alexa is the name of the famous voice behind some of Amazon's most popular devices, such as Echo, Echo Dot, Echo Spot, Echo Show, and others. Millions of homes around the world have these devices, and millions of additional homes have similar products, such as Apple Siri and Google Home devices. But what most users don't realize is Alexa, listen, is always listening and always remembering. By her very nature, Alexa has to always be listening, because otherwise she wouldn't hear you when you call. But when you do, Alexa does more than listen. She actually records your voice and stores that audio file on a remote server. So it is a bugging device that you pay for and you brought in your house, always listening. And again, even the secular news is picking up on how scary this is. Watch this.
My husband and I would randomly joke sometimes, like, I bet these devices are listening to what we're saying.
Until recently, Danielle's home was completely wired up in every room with the Amazon Echo. Her family used the Alexa app to do everything from turn up the heat to turn off the lights. But Danielle told us via Skype that 2 weeks ago, their love for Alexa changed with an alarming phone call.
The person on the other line said, unplug your Alexa devices right now.
That person was one of her husband's employees calling from Seattle.
We go around and unplug them all. He proceeded to tell us that he had received audio files, recordings from what was going on in our house.
Danielle says her Amazon device in her Portland home recorded a private conversation and sent that recording to a random contact, which happened to be the employee in Seattle.
At first, my husband was like, no, you didn't. And he's like, you're sat there talking about hardwood floors. And we're, oh gosh, you really did.
Danielle listened to the conversation and she couldn't believe someone 176 miles away heard it too.
I felt invaded, like total privacy invasion. Like immediately I'm like, I'm never plugging that device in again.
And why would she do that? Because you saw what was she wearing on her head? A tinfoil hat with antennas coming out. She was freaky. She was a wacky conspiracy theorist. No, why is she saying, I'll never get these things out of here? Because they are always listening and always recording everything you say. In fact, let's fast forward, unfortunately, to those who make the biggest mistake and reject Jesus Christ now as their Lord and Savior, find themselves in the seven-year tribulation. They go back into their house. The Antichrist at the midway point says, worship me, I'm now God. And they're sitting in their house, fat chance, I'll never do that. He'll know exactly everybody who says they did or didn't, will or won't. It's already here, and we pay for it. That's pretty slick, okay? Oh, and if you don't think that they're going to use this information to turn you into the authorities, that trend, too, is already starting. Let me give you just two quick examples. In 2015, James Bates claimed he awoke after a night of drinking and watching football with his friend Victor Collins, floating face down in a hot tub. Bates claimed it was a tragic accident. The authorities claimed, though, it was murder. To prove it, they called an unusual witness, Alexa. The prosecutor subpoenaed the defendant's Amazon Echo recordings to find out the truth, and Amazon provided the audio files to help prove their case. Let me give you a second one. The Alexa also became a witness in a January 2017 trial of a double murder of two New Hampshire women. The judge ordered Amazon to turn over any recordings from the Echo device found at the crime scene. So not only are these devices actually listening, they're not only actually recording, there's already a trend that those recordings, when requested, will be turned into the authorities. Listen, and your conversation will be used against you, including whether or not you worship the Antichrist. Don't think this is not all going to come into play. This is technology not coming, it's already here. In fact, I think that they're brainwashing the younger generations below us up to think that this kind of constant monitoring is actually a good thing. Don't worry about it. So what? It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool. And one of the ways they're actually doing this is with toys. Even the toys in your home could give you away. Watch this.
And watch out, kids. Your newest Barbie doll may be a tattletale. The Wi-Fi connected Hello Barbie has voice recognition software so it can interact with the children. That's great. But the software also records conversations, sending them to cloud servers.
Dropping is usually a pretty harmless thing most of us are guilty of doing. However, toy advocacy groups are complaining to the Federal Trade Commission about kids' toys that could actually be spying and collecting data on the entire family.
My friend Kayla and IQ Intelligent Robot are two talking dolls currently on the market. With Christmas just around the corner, many parents have or are gearing up to purchase these two hot items made by Genesis Toys. According to CBS Money Watch, both trinkets come equipped with a Bluetooth microphone, a speaker, a mobile application, storage, and Wi-Fi connections. Conversations are also recorded and collected between the toys and children. What's even scarier is Kayla prompts kids to answer personal questions such as where they live, attend school, and what their family members' names are.
So now it's not just listening and recording. They're asking you specific questions about you and your family and what you're doing and likes and dislikes. And dare I say, is mom and dad worshiping the Antichrist? Folks, this is all news, man. No conspiracy theory here. It's all coming together. Okay? And, you know, you go back to that text, Matthew 24:9, it says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. Anybody that turns to God in the 7-year tribulation, not the church, but during that time frame. Well, how's it going to happen? I mean, how are they going to be handed over and put to death? How are they going to know? Maybe even the toys will turn you in. Not science fiction, folks. That is our reality. Because apparently it's just too hard to actually pick up that doll and play with it. Crazy. The third lazy technology that's leading to a big brother paradise is smart TVs. Now again, what kind of TV? Smart TV. So what does that mean it is? It's a big brother TV, and boy is it all. Because I don't know how, folks, and maybe this is you. Maybe you got hand cramps, right? And maybe you got this big giant callus on your thumb, but we crack jokes about it, right? You see guys in front of TVs, and what do? They don't even watch a program. What do? And they're flipping through that thing, right? They're just flipping through the thing. They can't even stand for 30 seconds. They just keep flipping that thing and flipping, just seeing what's on and flipping. I mean, after a while, it's got to hurt. Wouldn't it be great if I wouldn't have to keep flipping through that remote control? Oh, by the way, how many of you guys remember the days when you were the remote control, right? I was a low-tech remote control, right? Apparently, my existence, part of it, was to be a remote control for my dad, right? Go turn the channel. I was the remote, but then came along these things with remotes, and then we could do it and saved us from slavery. Right? But apparently, we're so lazy that's just too hard. I just want to only push it once or use my voice, and the TV will find it for me. That's the premise behind these smart TVs, folks, okay? But again, unfortunately, these smart TVs, yeah, it might be convenient, but they're not just listening to you. They're watching you in return. Pretty smart of them. Watch this.
Christmas is fast approaching. That means millions of people are going to be burning through their savings, lining up just to get their hands on the latest technology, completely oblivious to the fact that they are actually paying to have their private conversations recorded and shared with third parties. Take the new Samsung Smart TV. The amount of data that this thing collects is staggering.
Just say what you want.
Find us action adventure.
It logs where, when, how and for how long you use the TV. It sets tracking cookies and beacons designed to detect when you have viewed particular content or a particular email message. It records the apps you use, the websites you visit, and how you interact with content. And it, of course, has a built-in camera and microphone with facial and voice recognition for your convenience. But Samsung's new global privacy policy for its line of smart TVs comes with a rather ominous warning. Please be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data that's captured and transmitted to a third party. There's no need for the FBI to bug your living room. You'll do it yourself. In 2 years' time, the stuff that this Samsung TV can do will be old news.
What's wrong?
Let's say you're having a fight with your spouse in front of your television. Well, that camera and microphone that's been surreptitiously recording all of your private conversations and scanning your body language can now send that information to third-party advertisers so that they can air a perfectly timed commercial suggesting some SSRIs. In other words, don't say anything private in front of your television.
Wow. George Orwell, eat your heart out. The TVs really are not just listening, they're watching you. Oh, and again, the secular folks are picking up on it too. Watch this headline. Is your TV watching you? They say this, perhaps you're not worried about the NSA tracking your phone calls and emails, which they are, by the way. But what if they were watching you in your PJs on your couch? Now, it may seem like something of a Mission Impossible, but it's the stuff of fact, they say, not fiction. Today's internet-connected smart TVs can be hacked into, and outsiders are, listen, able to turn on the TV set's video camera without the user's knowledge. In fact, pretty much they say the whole world of smart devices, whether it be smart wearables, smart home devices, smart TVs, smart cars, anything with a chip and internet connectivity is logging you. And again, if you think that they won't use the information that they gather on you from your TV and they'll never turn that into the authorities, it's already happening. Watch this.
WikiLeaks may have done more than any other organization last year to destroy the Clinton campaign, thanks to the release of their massive trove of Democratic Party emails. Now they're trying to claim yet another scalp, the CIA. For more, we are joined tonight by Fox News correspondent Trace Gallagher. Hey, Trace.
Hey, Tucker, unlike the Edward Snowden leaks back in 2013 that revealed the National Security Agency was, in fact, spying on average Americans, today's document dumped by WikiLeaks isn't about gathering info on Americans. It's about the tools and tactics being used by the Central Intelligence Agency to break into or circumvent various communication technologies. For example, experts who studied the leaked documents say the CIA, along with other U.S. and foreign agencies, found a way to hack into phones that use Google's Android technology, giving them the ability to collect voice and text message data from messaging apps like WhatsApp, Telegram, and Signal. Experts say it appears the CIA was able to hack devices prior to the encryption or secret code being applied. Google is looking into the matter, but it's interesting that one cybersecurity expert here in California says it appears that CIA hackers would cover their tracks by leaving electronic trails suggesting the hacks came from Iran, China, or Russia instead of the United States. It also appears that U.S. and British intel agencies developed a way to take controls of televisions connected to the internet, making it appear the TV was off when in fact it was recording conversations in the room.
Could your TV be spying on you? If you've got an internet-connected TV, that might be possible. Secret documents show how the CIA have turned TVs into bugging devices. Hello, is anyone listening? Hi, TV. It is possible that your TV is being used as a spy, as a big brother in your living room. But how likely is it? The leaked documents show that the CIA worked with Britain's MI5 to develop this capability to target specific individuals.
Oh, well, there you have it. It's just they can tap into your TV. It's already going on. U.S., Britain, if you think that's the only two countries doing this, you're living in a dream world. But it's just to target certain people. You know, like those terrorists, those bad guys. But again, what if you became the bad guy? Who gets to determine that anyway? Oh, and by the way, we know in the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist is going to have a label to who is the bad guy, i.e. the terrorist, in the seven-year tribulation. And you know who that is? Anyone who does not worship him. So this is already going on as well. They're hacking into the TVs, okay? No wonder Jesus said, you're starting to get the feel? Why did he say, "Don't, of all places, don't go back to your house"? That ain't safe, man. You should have gotten saved and avoided the whole thing is the point. Let me give you one more. The fourth lazy technology that's leading to Big Brother Paradise is just flat out everything in our house. In fact, that's what they call them, smart homes. Everything you do in your home, not just a couple of things we're seeing here, everything needs to be run by a computer. Because again, we all know how hard it is to go to the hallway and yeah, that thermostat, you know how hard it is to turn that dial. I can't take it, I'm sweating. Yeah, I need a computer to adjust the thermostat for me. It's too... If I have to push that button on the garage door one more time, I'm going to the hospital. I'm calling in sick. But I'm telling you folks, everything you do in your home, this is what's being pitched, okay? The computers can do it for you, right? You don't need to just do nothing. Just speak it out, it'll do it for you. Or it'll even do it automatically, you don't even know. And they're pitching this as a utopian paradise. Listen to this. This is one little advertisement. It's 6 a.m. and the alarm clock is buzzing earlier than usual. It's not a malfunction. It's a smart clock. You see, it scanned your schedule and adjusted it automatically because it saw that you got a big presentation first thing in the morning. Your shower automatically turns on and warms you to the preferred 103 degrees Fahrenheit. And your electric car, it's ready to go, charged by the solar panels or wind turbine on your roof. And when you get home later, there's an unexpected package waiting, delivered by a drone. You open it up to find cold medicine. It turns out the health sensors embedded in your bathroom detected signs of an impending illness and placed the order automatically. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, one of the biggest pushers, and there's a lot of different companies out there. I'm just going to deal with this one. One of the biggest ones, shocker, is Google. And their system is called Google Nest, because that's what they call your home. It's your nesting place, Google Nest. Google basically wants to run your home. And I'm talking about their system not only will adjust your thermostats, your appliances, smoke detectors, security systems, security cameras, locks, open doors, turn on lights, you know, everything you could think about doing in your nest, i.e. your home, Google wants to do it for you. Isn't that wonderful? Well, we'll get into the dangers of that. But one thing that just came out, you know what they forgot to tell people that bought these systems? We installed hidden microphones in there. That's the headline, folks. Google Nest home security system hidden microphone was never disclosed to consumers. And they say this, the worst kind of microphone obviously is a hidden microphone. And customers were caught off guard early February when Google announced its home security system, the Nest Secure, has listening capabilities. And one user actually said this statement, "Have I had a device with a hidden microphone in my house this entire time?" Quote, "Yes." The microphone left the door open for additional features to be added to the technology. And Google said, like, it needed to detect the ability of broken glass. Oh, okay, I guess that's okay then. And the company, they put out like, well, we're not the only ones. They said, sound sensing devices are common in security systems. So? Oh, by the way, when Brandy and I, when we came here to Vegas, when we bought our house, the house already had an alarm system in it. But the guys had to still come over, and guess what they want to do? Don't you want the new and improved one? And the first thing they said, the guy was all elated, right? And I like technology too, but he was like, oh, dude, you got to have this new one. Just, you know, a couple more bucks a month, man, and you can have this new system. And you know what it'll do? One of the nifty things is if you've fallen and you can't get up, or maybe you're just taking a nap, you're too lazy to get off the couch. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But if you fall and you can't get up, and if you can't make it to the phone to call 911, if you hear somebody breaking in, all you got to do, and he actually said, you could just be laying on the floor and just shout out, hey, call the police, and we'll automatically do it for you. I'm going like, well, how'd you know that? He says, because we can hear you. We said, no, thank you. We don't want your service. Remember that? When we first got our house. That was 7 years ago. Now they're installing them, and they don't even tell you about it. But they're always listening to you. And, oh, by the way, they're not only listening to you, they're watching you. And these home systems are so easy to hack into because it's all connected to the internet. These guys made it a ministry, so to speak, where they would hack into people's homes, and then they would go and prove that they can find them, and they would actually show them the footage of them watching them to get them to shut their systems off. Watch this.
Let's talk about who's watching you. High-tech break and enter.
Attention, John and Peter. Your home has been hacked.
Homes are being transformed by so-called smart devices that promise to make things more convenient and more secure. It's automated control of everything, from our lights and locks to our TVs and temperature.
Alexa, set the thermostat to 23.
Okay.
Alexa, kitchen light on.
Okay.
In Canada alone, more than 100 million of these devices are now connected to the internet. We're traveling to a small town in southern Ontario to deliver some disturbing news.
That's our Prius.
Is it?
A family who lives here is being watched by the whole world, and they don't know it. Here they are, renovating their front porch. And here again, sharing more intimate moments on the back deck. Captured by their own security cameras and broadcast over the internet for all to see. anyone can keep an eye on their comings and goings. That's how we've tracked them down, through their license plate. You can even watch on their cameras as we arrive to alert them to what we found.
And what did they find? Folks, if these guys, the average Joe, can hack into these systems, again, do you think the professionals are going to have a problem with this? Do you think the Antichrist is going to have a problem with this? No, not at all. And we pay for this. So, I mean, talk about like a rat in a cage. They're going to know everything. Watching, listening. Oh, and by the way, I thought about this too. See, it gives them a control of your devices in your home, not just the cameras, everything in your home. Maybe this is the other half of the equation. They're not going to listen to see who worships and who doesn't, but they use the same capabilities of hacking into your house, and that will be the same means that they decide to take you out. Because remember, what's the text say? If you don't worship the Antichrist, you will be killed. Well, how are they going to do that? Oh, maybe they're going to send an army, or they're going to send somebody. Maybe. Or maybe they could do something as simple as this.
We've been telling you for months now about the growing power of the big tech companies whose brand of surveillance capitalism has come to shape our politics and culture in ways that many people don't perceive. Tonight we want to give you a very specific example of that. It's both a look into the near future and a terrifying illustration of the control these companies seek over our daily lives. We recently reviewed several patents filed by Google. As we describe them, ask yourself if you're comfortable giving this much power to unelected technocrats you have never met. In the first patent, filed in September of 2016, Google envisions how it could send you personalized advertising based on what a camera observes in your home. In the illustration that Google submitted to the federal government, the patent office, a camera in your bedroom sees a Godfather novel on your nightstand next to your bed and uses that to steer you to watching the movie. If you think that's creepy, prepare yourself because it gets a lot creepier. In another patent application from September 2016, Google imagines how it could take control of your parenting, your relationship with your children. Google's smart home system could detect children near a liquor cabinet, for example, or in their parents' bedroom, infer that, quote, mischief is occurring, and deliver a verbal warning. In another example, Google imagines a hypothetical child called Benjamin. Google's cameras would be watching Benjamin at all times, carefully. They could see if he's playing outside or using electronics. Presumably, they'd also try to use that information to sell him things at some point, because that's the whole point of Google. The same patent also discusses how the smart home could coach families on, quote, areas of improvement. For example, if a family doesn't spend enough time together, eating together, in Google's estimation, Google might scold them.
ABC News is reporting that a smart home device, like the Amazon Echo or the Google Home, those things, a smart home chose to call the New Mexico authorities during a domestic assault, and it saved the day. Now, look, this is one of these feel-good stories that is much more insidious than you realize. I'm glad the woman was rescued, of course. But please raise your hand if you would like for your house to be spying on you and calling the police when it feels like something illegal might be happening.
Not coming, but already being done. Your house, what did you say, never to go back? Your house could turn you into the authorities, whether or not you worship the Antichrist. And again, so how are they going to take you out? Somebody going to come knock at your door and take you out? Maybe. Or maybe they could do something as simple as this next trick. Smart ovens have been turning on overnight and preheating 400 degrees. Well, that's smart of that oven to do that. You had no idea. And I quote, smart ovens have turned on in the middle of the night and heated up to 400 degrees Fahrenheit or even higher. And the oven's owners aren't sure why this happened. Google Nest captured the footage the exact moment it turned on. And the New York City Fire Department says unattended cooking accounts for 33% of home fires, and those fires typically start with a stove or an oven. Wow. So maybe I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord. I don't know. We're not going to be there. But maybe those homes will turn you into the authorities. Your house will report you that you didn't worship the Antichrist. And that night, talk about a convenient tool. Turn that oven on, especially that gas oven. And nobody be the wiser. And they took you out. Crazy, folks. It's really here. But see, one last thing. You still, which I hope it's not you, you still might be resisting asking Jesus to save you and be your Savior. Please don't make that mistake. But you're saying, I still don't care. Here's what I'm going to do. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to get saved. You Christians are a bunch of wackos. You're just trying to scare me. Even if this stuff were to happen, I'm just going to, that's what I'm going to do. I'm still going back to my house. My house is my castle, right? And I'm just going to get rid of all electronics. I'm going to get rid of the cell phone. I'm going to get rid of the computer. I'm not going to have any of these nifty devices. I'm just going to do it myself. And they can't get me. Really? You don't think they'll be able to listen to you? What you do? What you're saying? You got a bag of chips in your house? They could even create the audio of what you're saying off of a bag of chips. Watch this.
Well, the next time you're speaking behind closed doors, make sure there isn't a camera present. Researchers at MIT, Microsoft, and Adobe have completed a new experiment that can recreate sounds in an environment from only video images. And that means your words could be deciphered much easier than you think. The algorithm they developed reconstructs audio signals by analyzing minute vibrations of objects in a soundless video. For example, using a high-speed camera and soundproof glass, researchers were able to extract the audio of someone singing Mary Had a Little Lamb just off the vibrations of a bag of chips. In other experiments, researchers extracted usable audio signals from videos of aluminum foil, the surface of a glass of water, and even the leaves of a potted plant.
And I bet you got those in your house too. Mr. I don't need Jesus. I'm the ultimate survivor. I'll get rid of all my electronics. Not much electronic about a glass of water. Or a leaf. Bag of chips. Oh, don't forget that 50-pound bag of lime that you had to have for survival. That barrel of rice. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Hey, listen, if you want to store up some stuff in case for an emergency, like if you're in Hawaii, you got to do that for tsunamis and hurricanes, or Florida or Midwest with tornadoes or a blackout. I'm not against that. But if your whole premise is somehow you're going to survive the seven-year tribulation and you don't need Jesus, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. This big brother nightmare, folks, this worst time in the history of mankind, as Jesus said, the seven-year tribulation, the whole point is you better get saved now and avoid the whole thing. Stop thinking that you're going to be the ultimate survivor, because you're not.
Everything the great science fiction novelists predicted has come true. From Aldous Huxley's Brave New World to George Orwell's 1984 to Philip K. Dick's writings, on down the line, Ray Bradbury, everything they predicted many, many years ago has come true. You may not believe that, but if you keep up with the rise of technologies we're seeing today, it's getting pretty freaky. Orwell said in his book 1984, you had to live as if everything you did was being watched, except in darkness. The problem with Orwell, if he wrote his book in the late 1940s, even in darkness now, you're going to be listened to. As you go about your daily business in America, you are filmed or surveyed at least 20 times per day. You're being watched continually. The police can drive by your home, and they do, by the way, folks, with stingray devices, which are located in their car. They act as fake cell phone towers. They download everything you're doing in your home. They're watching everything. They're listening. They're recording it. They have Doppler radar devices, which are semi-heat detecting devices. They can go by your home. They point at your home. They can see if you're at home. Now, if they want to do a SWAT team raid on you, yeah, they know you're at home. Or if they don't want you to be home, and they want to go in your house under the U.S. Patriot Act and download everything from your computer to see what you have in your home, that's legal under the sneak and peek search. It's legal in America. Of course it violates the Constitution, but it's legal. The Department of Homeland Security, which is really the mastermind behind a lot of this in working with the FBI, is handing out license plate readers to police departments across the country, where they go by down your road. They can collect up to 1,800 images per hour. They can tell where you went to the dentist's office, a psychiatrist's office, to a political rally, where you're headed. They can track you. Google now admits on your cell phone, just by the power usage as you're driving around the city, they can track you exactly where you go. That's all fed into an intelligence cloud. Did you know that Amazon built a multi-million-dollar intelligence cloud for all 17 intelligence agencies to use? And all this information is fed into it. They analyze it, and they think you're a criminal, they could come get you. By the way, there are numerous new federal laws passed every year across the country. This doesn't count state laws and city laws, creating new criminal behavior, such as having a chicken in your backyard, a vegetable garden, solar panels, those kind of things, collecting rainwater. So you can be a criminal. There are 300,000 regulatory crimes by the federal government. So the average American is creating, they're saying now, 3 to 5 crimes a day, and you don't even know it. And we now know the National Security Agency, which is supposed to be protecting us, is downloading about 2 billion of our emails a day. This is American citizens. Text messages, Facebook posts. Remember the Fourth Amendment the Founding Fathers gave us? It says before the government's to do surveillance on you, they have to have evidence of some kind of criminal activity or a really good, strong, reasonable suspicion that you're committing it before they can do surveillance. But they're downloading everything we see. Even your TVs now, your Samsung TVs, your new smart TVs, you can do voice commands, tell it to come on, change channels and stuff like that. Anything you say in the room is going into that television set, and they admit, Samsung and other corporate entities that make these kind of television sets, those voice commands are collected and sent to an internet service. And where does that go? Up into that intelligence cloud that I mentioned earlier, and the government knows everything you're talking about in your home. And you have the FBI creating a huge database of DNA samples. Sometimes DNA does help catch a criminal, but why do they want DNA samples of babies? They're collecting some in hospitals, of people who are arrested for a crime but haven't been convicted. Police are pushing heavy for misdemeanors now. Everything is loaded into a DNA database. Well, come to find out, your DNA can tell you who your ancestors were. Well, maybe they're troublemakers. Maybe we could deal with that somehow, the government's thinking about. Maybe some kind of pre-crime units, as predicted by the movie Minority Report, written originally in a novel by Philip K. Dick. So everything is being watched. And now we have drones flying over the United States legally. President Obama signed a law in effect allowing drones to fly without any civil liberties protections at all. You didn't realize some of these drones have scanning devices. They can fly over your home and scan everything you're doing in your home. They can hack into your Wi-Fi, computers, download this and that. You have hummingbird drones that can fly up to your window, watch what you're doing, record what you're saying, insect drones inside your house. All these things are there, folks. So what have we come to? We are at the end of the age of privacy. There's nothing we do that's private today.
And even if somehow you can make it all the way to the end, you still lose. I mean, read the Bible, right? He says, the angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. You know what that is? That's at the very end of the 7-year tribulation. It's called the angel harvest. And anybody who does survive, most of the planet is completely annihilated, but anybody who still does survive and says, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, okay, the Bible says a supernatural event is going to take place to prepare the way for the millennium, because non-believers don't go into the millennium, right? And so the angels, actually, God orders the angels to come and scoop you away and throw you into hell. You still lose. The whole point is you need to listen to Jesus when he simply says you need to get saved now. In church, he tells us when the things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I'm not afraid of the 7-year tribulation because I am firmly convinced biblically I'm not going to be there as a Christian. My point is this, it's getting close. Amen? It's very apparent. So that means we don't know the day nor the hour. Our departure is soon. So let's finish strong. If you love Jesus, get busy. Oh, and by the way, get excited. Going to heaven, the rapture is not bad news. That's best case scenario, right? Live like it because it's really true. But again, if you're here today and you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? Hopefully with this Big Brother section, it's pulled the rug out from under all your lame excuses as to why I don't need God. Also, I don't need Jesus. Man, take the way out. The one and only way out right now through Jesus and get saved before it's too late. Amen? That's the only safe, to use the term, bug out shelter, is the cross of Christ. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying, okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand, okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon
so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.